The blackout had come after they landed. Encouraged by his tactics program, which estimated 40% losses at the first landing attempt, Terence assumed the worst and contacted the last three space planes. "Change your principal drop zone to one of the backups," he ordered. "I want you to land at least 150 kilometers from the Red Cloud." "It's moving," Oliver Thwellen shouted as Terence was receiving acknowledgments from the pilots. "What is?" "The Red Cloud." Terence opened a channel to the processor array which was correlating the observation satellite images. Whorls and curlicues were rippling along the edges of the red bands. Flat streamers, kilometers long, were shooting out horizontally, like solar prominences. The eerie symmetry of the velvet-textured clouds was rupturing, their albedo fluctuating as vast serpentine shadows skated erratically from side to side. "It knows we're here," Oliver Thwellen said. "We've agitated it." For one brutally nasty second, Terence Smith had the idea that the massive formation of forking cloud bands was alive, a gas giant entity that had migrated across interplanetary space from Murora. Damn it, the thing did resemble the kind of convoluted storm braids which curled and clashed in week-long hostilities among the hydrogen and frozen ammonia crystals of gas giant atmospheres. "Don't be absurd," he said. "Something is deliberately causing those disturbances. This may be our best chance yet to discover how they shape that thing. Get on to the Black Hawk, captains. I want every sensor we have available focused on it. There has to be some kind of energy modulation going on down there. Something has to register on some spectrum we're covering." "Want to bet?" Oliver Thwellen muttered under his breath. He was beginning to wish he had never agreed to fly the Gemmel for Smith, and to hell with the legalities of refusing. Some things were more important than money, starting with his life. He grudgingly began datavizing instructions round the Blackhawks. The communication links with another two space planes dropped out, but three had landed their mercenary teams without incident and were already back in the air. "It is possible," Terence told himself fiercely, as the pearl-white specks roared to safety above the tangled tributary basin. "We can find out what's happening down there." He observed the Red Cloud sending huge pseudo-storm streamers boiling ferociously out across the jungle. A navigational graphics overlay revealed the position of the space planes still on the ground. The largest swellings were heading for the landing zones with unerring accuracy. "Come on," he urged them through clenched teeth. "Get up! Get out of there!" "Sensors report no energy perturbation of any kind," Oliver Thwellen said. "Impossible. It's being directed. What about the sensors the invaders use to track our space planes? Have we detected those?" "No." Five more space planes were back in the air, streaking away from the grasping claws of Red Cloud. Two of them were ones they had lost contact with earlier. Terence heard a cheer go round the General's bridge and added his own whoop of exhilaration. Now the mission was starting to come together. With the combat scout teams on the ground, they would have targets soon. They would start hitting back. The last three space planes landed in the Qualheim counties. One of them was from the Lady Macbeth. The Villeneuve's Revenge had the standard pyramid structure of four life support capsules at its core. They were spherical, divided into three decks, with enough volume to make life for the crew of six very agreeable. 15 passengers could be accommodated with only a modest reduction in comfort. None of the six mercenaries they had brought to La Londe had complained. The fittings, like the rest of the ship's systems, could be classed as passable with plenty of room for improvement, upgrading, or preferably complete replacement. Eric Thackrah and Bev Lennon sailed headfirst through the ceiling hatch of the lounge deck above the spaceplane hangar. The compartment's surfaces were coated in a thin, grey-green foam with stick pads at regular intervals, though most of them had lost their cohesiveness. Furniture was all lightweight composite, that had been folded back neatly into alcoves, producing a floor made up of labelled squares, hexagons, and circles, like some mismatched mosaic.